You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jay Harwood, a special edition of Amazing Men's Conversation with the great Todd Hundley, who almost 30 years ago set a lot of home run records. Todd, thank you for coming aboard. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for calling me the great Todd Hundley.
Well, we were, you know, I mean, almost 30 years ago, you were Pete Alonso and our young catcher, Francisco Alvarez, wrapped up at 2-1. Let me take it back to 1996, 41 home runs, most ever by a switch hitter in the National League, most ever by a catcher, 112 RBIs. You had followed up the following year with 30 homers and 80-plus RBIs. Todd, what do you remember most about that 96 season?
Well, Jay, I played almost every game. It was
you caught 150 games.
Yeah, it was just one of those summers that I think it was with Dallas Green as our manager. It was kind of a make or break deal between me and him, and he just basically threw me out there every day and said, "I'm just going to run you into the ground and see
and
what."
He did.
And he did. Yeah, and there were a couple times one time it was in Pittsburgh. We had a doubleheader in Pittsburgh, and we were driving home from the stadium. Bill Pulsifer, Chris Jones, myself, and we got into a car wreck, a legitimate car wreck. It was a weird intersection. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and Pulse Bill was driving, and we get in this car wreck, and the next day totaled the car. Everyone was okay in the car, but the car was totaled. It was a pretty good car wreck. And the next day I'm thinking I caught the doubleheader that night in Pittsburgh, and then the next day we had a game at Shea. So I'm thinking, well, okay, get to the ballpark, had a, you know, getting in a car wreck last night, might get the day off. No, I played that day too. So he just stuck me in there every chance he could. And it was better for me because I would rather play than sit the bench. You know, I was not a very good pinch hitter or a utility catcher. I had to play every day to get in the groove and stay in the groove.
Todd, what do you read about catchers catching 50, 60, 70 games a year? They need rest. Nobody catches day game after night games. After what you went through, what do you think about that kind of stuff now?
Jay, it is absolutely a completely different baseball game than when I played. And some for the better, some not so. But I don't know. I'd never had that mentality. I always wanted to play every day and just did everything I could. Everything I could possibly do to be in the lineup every day. And I know things operate totally different nowadays, and the numbers are a big part of the game. And I just didn't really worry about the numbers when I played. Maybe I should have. I just didn't.
So in 97, you hit 30 home runs. And then, unfortunately, injuries, bugaboo, shoulder, elbow. And you had a couple of major surgeries at the end of 97, Tom, if I remember.
Yeah, Jay. Well, you know, it was in 96, and towards the end of 96, I had talked to Barry Bonds, had a good conversation with Barry Bonds. And Barry had said to me, he goes, "Hey, man, congratulations on the year, so on and so forth. But the toughest thing is to do it again. You know, you have to do it every year." And I really didn't think about that. I was like, "Oh, yeah, I guess you're right." So then then 97 came along and still, you know, was putting up numbers. And then, my elbow had been bugging me for years. It was ever since I was in Double A, my elbow was, you know, always bugging me. And just played with it. And then 97, late 97, I took a swing and blew out my ligament in my elbow and had to get have the Tommy John surgery. And that was a year, you know, a year long rehab. And once you take that amount of time off from the game, it's hard to step back in. And then I realized why we have the comeback player of the year award, because it is very tough to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you take, you know, when you have to take that much time off from the game and try and get back into it at that level. It is very tough. And yeah, everything, you know, then the shoulder, once the elbow goes, then something else has to, you know, take over for the elbow, and then it moves usually the shoulder, and then it goes to the neck, and they just add up. So
let me take it in May 1998. Met fans, Met players, the universe was happy to Mets acquire Mike Piazza from the Marlins. I bet you, Todd Hundley, you didn't probably do jumping jacks. I mean, no offense to Mike, but it was kind of a culture shock for you. We got Mike.
Well, it was, I didn't hear anything about it.
Coming it was very up. Under the cover. It really was.
Yeah. It was, they kept everything quiet, which, you know, was fine. And I had no idea. I didn't know that was, that they were talking with the Marlins, or, you know, obviously Mike is Mike Piazza. He's a Hall of Fame catcher. It was just surprising to me, that they made that big of a deal. I mean, it was a great deal for the Mets. But I knew right then, yeah, I was done with the Mets and would be in a different, completely different role.
Tried for left field for a little bit, Todd, right? And that wasn't great. I mean,
yeah, no, that did not, that did not work out. I was not a good left fielder at all. I figured, you know, since I couldn't throw, like I wanted to from catcher's position, I just, you know, said to Bobby Valentine, I said, hey, can I try the outfield? You know, these guys make it look so easy. Can I try it? And you know, he was like, yeah, go for it. So I went down to Florida and worked out and got in shape and learned a little bit about the position. Again, those guys making it look so easy. It was not easy. Yeah. And I just didn't, my mentality, I didn't have the mentality to play another position other than catcher. I just had to always be in the, you know, in the action when I was playing the outfield. And if I made an out or struck out or whatever, I would just sit out in the outfield. There's nothing to do. You just stir with it and think about it until your next at bat or whatever else is going to happen. And at least when you're behind the plate catching, you can, you know, make a difference in the game and get your mind off of your hitting problem.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was really a tough, I don't want to be over dramatic, but two-time All-Star, over 70 home runs in 2 years, close to 200 RBIs. You get hurt, still in the prime of your career, and we get Mike. You had to really readjust your whole career in a short amount of time, right, Todd?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was, I was looking to come back that year, towards September, late August, with my elbow. That would have been the end of my rehab for my elbow. And then they acquired Mike, and yeah, my whole position changed. And you know, I was just thinking, okay, then I'm going to be Mike's backup for at least the end of this year and maybe next year. And then the Mets traded me to the Dodgers that winter.
Yeah. You know what? One of the things I remember most about '96, you broke Roy Campanella's 43-year-old record for most home runs a catcher. I forget whether it was in L.A. or New York, but we arranged a meeting with you and the late Ruth Campanella. She's a nice lady, huh? I mean, you remember about that?
That was in, Jay, in L.A.
I remember it was in L.A., right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was in, and that whole summer, that record was such a big deal to a lot of people that I had.
Because we were on a very good team, Todd, if I remember correctly. We were over 500 next year, but everything was on you in the record. It wasn't much team-oriented stuff, so it was kind of a lot of pressure on you that year, right?
Right, yeah, I guess that was kind of the only thing going on for the Mets that summer was me hitting those home runs, and then getting to meet Ruth Campanella and you know the whole summer, as you know, Jay, you and I were doing it all summer, and I would have to get there real early just to come.
You said I was a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah. But we were, and Jay, you were in the middle of it.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We would have to do the media early, a couple hours early. Yeah.
Always very gracious, Todd, I remember. I remember the date, a 3-run homer in September against Greg McMichael of the Braves. You remember what about the homer? Did you know what, you remember anything particular about the homer?
No,
41st home run.
Yeah, it was the he was the last one I ever thought hit a home run off of, because he never gave you a really good pitch to hit.
Right.
So yeah, I was coming up, and he had a great changeup, but he would throw it so far outside to left-handed hitters. He would start it on the corner, but then by the time it got to home plate, it would be 6 inches off, and then he just kept moving further out and further out and further out. And then he might throw you a fastball inside just to back you up, but then go way back out there. So I just said, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to be looking for a pitch in the right-handed hitter's box down and away. And I was looking way out there, and he threw it, and I hit it to left field. I just tried to hit it hard, and I hit it. I smoked it. And it banged off the left field wall and came back into play. It was over the home run line, but came back into play. And and the place went crazy.
Todd, in your time back here for the old timers, you gave another visit. Have you had a chance yet to speak to Pete Alonso at all? I mean, I know you said you moved out to California the last couple of years. Have you had a chance to follow him at all on TV? What do you think of his swing and what he's done in a short period of time?
Oh, he is, he's a great guy. Yeah. And when we were back there for the old timers game, I got to hang out with him, talk to him and pick his brain. And he's got one of those swings that he can be consistent. You know, he has a solid, compact, short stride, not a lot of movement in his swing, but very strong, and can come up with a bat speed and a heartbeat and hits it a long way. I mean, he's on top of that, he's a big boy. I mean, he's just a big man and strong. And he has one of those swings that he can put those numbers up.
So we have a young catcher on our team now, Francisco Alvarez, who had 25 homers his rookie year, 20 years old. I mean, you're comparing him to what Johnny Bench did in your career, but I don't know if you had a chance to see him play, but he's a muscular young kid, nice kid. You know what I like about him the most, aside from his home run, he's learning English. He's doing his interviews now in English, not just in Spanish, which I think is a great thing. So I know when the Mets are out there, you and Jody and the family always try to go out and say hello to the team out there when you're in California.
Yes. Well, yeah. When the Mets come in, to San Francisco, we usually get down there and hang out with the guys. But yeah, he's a great, he's a good, I mean, obviously a good hitter. He's just going to get better and better as a catcher. And it's a grind. I mean, that position is a grind, and he's got the tools though. He absolutely does have the tools.
But But Todd, what after you got out of the game, did you go into the restaurant business at all, or some? Am I mistaken? What
No.
after you did you really? I mean, did you something right? Real estate or something? No.
Yeah, just some real estate down in Florida. He just had bought a couple houses down in Florida and sold them and did the real estate thing for a couple of years and then been in Chicago with my dad and my wife Jody and my brothers and sisters. So
I'm fortunate enough to meet Randy a couple of times, a great guy. And
it's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro recharge kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You know, great catcher with the Cubs. Were you a catcher because of him? I mean, his number was 9 too, right? He took his number, your dad's number.
Right. Yeah, I did have his number. No, Jay, I did because I really didn't know. Well, when I was young, Dad was always, playing. He was playing or managing. So I was always in the backyard with my buddies and playing baseball and, every day we played for hours. I'd love the game. And I either was pitching or catching. I just couldn't be, stand still in the boring positions, the outfield, the infield. So I was just always, with the catcher's glove and my buddies were pitchers and we grew up together playing. We played baseball for doggone 15, 16 years together. And we were just always having fun. I just always loved the game and when my dad did, when his playing career, managing career was done and he had the time, I was, I was probably 10 or 11 at that time. And he said, what position you want to play in baseball? I said, I want to be a catcher. He said, all right, if that's what you want to do, then this is what you have to do. And we would just work at blocking balls and throwing and techniques, hours on end. And, but he really taught me the little things about the position, footwork and using different signs and different signals and what to look for, with the third base coach and the first base coach and the infielders and the runner on second. And so all those, little things added up and I had a great time, as a teenager playing with the group of guys I played with. We really had a tight group.
What did your dad tell you about the 1969 Cubs Mets robbery? Did he go into
his basement of his house, my house I grew up in. Our basement wall is basically that whole play at home plate with Tommy Agee.
Yes.
And it frame by frame, picture by picture on the wall. So I basically grew up with that my whole life before I knew anything of, the real deal, the real season.
That was a great rivalry, with the Black Cat and a lot of good stuff between the two teams. And
he hated New York, New York City, my old man. And then when I played there and he come to New York City, he's like, no, I actually like this place. These are good people. Like, well, yeah, man. But he had a totally different.
I could imagine. That was a remarkable year. I got another date for you. June 16th, 1997. The Mets go to Yankee Stadium. First game of the Subway Series, heavily favored Yankees playing. It's really a New York town, a Yankee town at that time. Dave Malicki, out of nowhere, complete game shutout. Catcher is Tom Hundley. What do you remember about that game, Todd?
Wow. Jay, that was the first game of that the Subway
Series.
And it was incredible. It was sold out. And every pitch, literally every pitch, it was either 25,000 people cheering or 25,000 people booing every single pitch. And yeah, Dave had a curveball that went from just dropped off the table. If he could get it over for strikes, it was nasty, and could throw hard. He had a good good fastball. He was always working on his changeup. He didn't have that good of a changeup, but it was just, you know, some guys do, some guys don't. But his curveball and slider were world class.
And no offense to Dave, I love Dave to death, but if you would have picked the last guy in the world to pitch a shutout against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, probably was Dave Malicki. I mean, he laughs about it today.
Yeah, because going in, it's like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Supposed to get crushed, and they're the Yankees, they're the big boys, and so we had nothing to lose. And then but we still had no idea the atmosphere we were going into with these fans. The fans were just incredible, and then for it just to keep going and get more tense and more tense throughout the game.
It's like a World Series game.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Todd, you were drafted in 87, am I correct, or wrong, 87? Yep. Yeah. Did you have – you caught Doc in after the 80s. How many times did you catch Dwight?
Whoa, boy, game time, maybe a total of, 15, 20 games.
We're retiring him and Darryl's number this year.
Oh, really?
Doc's number is April 14th. Darryl is June 1st. Back then, what do you recollect? I mean, about catching Dwight, and how was he to work with?
Oh, Doc was one of a kind. I mean, as you know, he's just one of those talents that comes around once in a lifetime. And when I was with Doc, whenever he pitched at Shea, it was sold out. I mean, it was every night that he was in New York was a sellout. And he was just, he had that walk, to the mound. He would go dugout to the mound, and he just had that strut. And the raw talent that he had, guys just don't have that kind of raw talent that Doc had. And then to go out and do it every game, and with his fastball and curveball, and then he developed a great changeup, later in his career.
Lord Charles.
It was
Lord Charles,
but he developed it late in his career. Where his first couple years, he had no chance of throwing a good changeup. And then
you remember the K corner out in left field when he pitched?
Yeah, remember that?
He put the strikeouts up there. It was pretty good. Yeah. What I remember about you, because the home runs and everything, he was so great with the fan. You remember the fan club you had used to come in on the field, and you were always so gracious with the fans, and you always said hello to him, and you took time to sign pictures and speak to your stuff at the Diamond Club. What do you remember about that part of it, Don?
That was Laura Cohen.
Right.
Is her name.
And her dad. And her dad, too.
Yes, and her dad.
They idolized you.
Yeah. They did. They came to me in spring training and said, we want to do a fan club and so on and so forth. And I was flattered. They were just such a nice family and a great family. And I was, like I said, flattered. And they did a great job, though.
I remember you always gave me the time. You didn't brush them off. You talked to them and engaged them. And they would come in a game. You'd always go to the stands and meet them. And, you treated them, very nicely. Ty, what I'm trying to do in our position to remember the past here, What I'm hoping to do is get you and Jody back to New York sometime in mid-June around the Yankee Subway Series. It'd be great to have you and Dave back here and engage with the fans doing some stuff. So I hope you're up for that. I mean, we want to keep doing what we're doing and, you know, have a great tradition, you know, a lot of great moments. We try to remember a couple each year. And so having you and Dave back, it would be a nice part to remember what we did, you know. So it's 28 years ago now. I'm old, Todd.
Like that, Jay, isn't it? Goes by that. Yeah, I would Dodie and I would absolutely love to come in New York and hang out with Dave. That would be great.
Listen, man, you had a great career, and I thought the way you handled things, you know, injuries, Mike. I mean, what are you gonna do when it was kind of all at once, but you handled it with grace and tried a new position, and you know, it wasn't great, but you had a great career, and you know, over 200 home runs, for a couple of All-Star games. You know, a record that'll, you know, captivating New York for a whole summer. So you have a lot to be proud of, Todd, in your career.
Well, I appreciate it, Jay. You don't realize how much fun it is and was until your career's over. And, I did. I had a good time. I enjoyed myself. And to do everything all over again, yeah, I would have changed a million different things, but... I would have taken better care of myself and maybe had a little bit longer of a career.
Get a hold of me when we're out in Frisco. You want to see a game, you and Jody and the family, just call me and we'll make it happen. And I hope we're going to do our best to get you in here this summer to rehash some memories again. And
thank
please tell Jody, thank you for helping with this. And it's great catching up with you, Todd, and I hope to see you soon.
Great to see you, Jay. Absolutely.
All right. Be well, Todd.
You too.